Accession number 16576, Jim Miller, Reel 6.
Mr. Miller, Reel 6, we were talking about your time at Barrack 4 with the 2nd Battalion, DLI, and I'd like you now to how you became a storekeeper, because you'd been in a machine gunner and then you switched. Can you tell us what happened?
Right. I was at Ishapore and Company, and I was playing in a football match. It's all in that thing there. I was playing the football match, and just as I was going to shoot for goal, a chap called Walter Hogg charged me, and I went down heavily, and my left leg went underneath me. I'd broken my kneecap, and I went to hospital in the barracks. We had a hospital in the barracks. And the name of the doctor, he was a coloured man. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he put Scud's dressing on my leg. And I had a dislocated kneecap, my left leg. And it was very serious. It used to fill up with fluid. And I used to go on route marches, and my knee used to come out, and I used to push it back in. And actually, I should have been discharged from the army. I should have been discharged. It was very serious, and my ankle went as well. And I used to do marching. And Sergeant Major Metcalf, as I was marching 140 to the minute, he left. Ankle put used to swing backwards and forwards, and he used to laugh and say, look at Miller's bloody legs, look at his feet. And it was very embarrassing to me.
When was that? Straight away, or was that later? When did he laugh at you?
When I was marching, quick.
Straight away, in the early 30s?
Yeah, after I'd come out of hospital, of course.
So Metcalf, you knew Metcalf?
Oh yeah, he's my sergeant, platoon sergeant, didn't you? And I kept going into hospital, fluid on my leg. And I was called into the company office one morning, and I was asked to write and account and all that, and I didn't know what it was for. I forget who my company commander was. Was it Roberts? I can't remember. He said, "How would you like to be a storeman, Miller?" And I says, "What do you mean, sir?" He's working the quartermaster's store, storekeeper. And I said, "Okay, a change." Well, I went into the stores.
Now
it's in my records.
The injury was on the 12th of December, 1933. It says here it was at Barrack Poor, not Ishapore, but that. Neither here nor there.
I was in hospital at Barrack Poor. It was Ishapore where they had the pedometer then.
And so that's when it was. So you'd only been though over there a relatively short while, before it happened.
Yeah. But
so what about this storeman's job then, storekeeper?
Well, the quartermaster's store, the quartermaster, he was Lieutenant Pearson, and he used to be the regimental sergeant major, and he took a commission. And I've got a large photograph of all the men that was in the store with all the followers. Well, there was the quartermaster himself.
You mentioned, yeah.
Lieutenant Pearson. Archimius Buick. Atomic Buick. Corporal Wilson. A chap called Sammy MacDonald, Sammy Galton, and this Sergeant D, I forget his name, but he was the ration corporal, this corporal here, what they call the ration corporal. I was the storekeeper, and this lad here was a runner, you know, or jobs. I don't know his job, I forget his name. These were all the followers behind us. Bobby's base.
That's Indians.
Indians. Well, there was Gurkhas and all different. And if you notice, them Indians have got the Northwest Frontier Medal up. They're up in the Northwest Frontier.
Now, how did the whole lot of you work together then?
Well, I was in charge of all the clothing, all the implements, ammunition, the lot. That was my job. And every month we'd have a clothing parade. You know, some of the chaps wanted shorts, shirts, blouses, anything, shoes, that. And I used to issue them. And I could look at a chap, I got that jersey, look at a chap and say, he wants a size 5 or a 4, he's something like that. Stay at. It was a hectic job, and the quartermaster would be sitting there, and the RQ mess, writing down the names of the lads, and what they had, you see.
Now, why would they get something replaced? I mean, was it because they'd lost it, or because they...
Well, they were dirty, worn out. You know, that'd be replaced.
And would that be replaced on the army's cost, or would the man have to pay?
Well, yeah, I suppose it was through the army. I mean, they must have had some money in the regiment. I don't know much about that.
No, what I mean is, would you charge a man for having lost something or ruined something?
Oh, yes, if he lost a mess tin, that'd be charged. You had to pay for that. Anything like that, you know, or a water bottle, anything.
But if his shorts were just worn out or...
Oh, well, that was given to him, you see. Right? And I used to arrange all them in neatly, just like a big store. And then there was the ammunition.
Now, sticking to clothing. So what clothing did you have? Because I noticed that you had topies and things.
Yeah.
Would you have a store of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had two kinds of topies. We had what they call the bombier topie proper topie.
So what was the proper topie? Start with the proper one. What was a proper topie?
The helmet. It was a helmet. I forget.
What was it like?
Talky helmet.
What was it like to wear?
All right. It had a thing on the back here, you know, the helmet. Yeah, I had to wear them. If a man was found not wearing it during the hot part of the day, he was on a charge. Because you've got to wear them.
Did you realise that you didn't really have to wear them? I mean, because later on the British Army fought out there without any topies or anything. But, I mean, did you realise that you didn't need to wear them at the time?
Well, that was the way of the army, you see. You had to be smart. And it's always, I mean, even a long, long time ago, they had the helmets. The soldiers wore helmets in India in the 1800s. You know.
So it was just a tradition?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
Well, what was the difference between the proper one and the Bombay? The solar topi and the Bombay
The Bombay one was flat. Right? And the other one, it's just funny. It's hard to say. The Bombay one, we just wore it every day. Right? But the helmet one, we wore it on parades.
Now, what other clothes, what other uniform did you have? Most of it would be khaki drill, wouldn't it?
It was all khaki. Yeah, we had shorts.
No, but khaki...
And we had what you call hose tops. They were green. It wasn't a full stocking. You put your stocking, the ordinary stocking on, and then you put your hose top on. And those was green on the top, because they were our colours. Green and red. Red and green.
So you had them... Is your tie, yeah. What about this car? Was it khaki drill, or was it just ordinary heavy-duty uniform? It'd be khaki drill.
It was drill. Drill.
Was it all khaki drill?
The shirts, everything.
And that was lighter cloth, was it?
Yeah, short sleeves, the shirts. Short sleeves.
Shorts and short sleeves
yeah,
shirts. And what else would you have in your stores, uniform-wise? Would you keep the boots there?
Oh, yeah, there was boots, socks, you know, everything a soldier needed, yeah.
And then you said you had the ammunition as well.
Yes, I used to check the ammunition. You could only keep it a certain time, you know. Then I had to go back to the to the Arsenal. Oh yeah, you had to check everything. Rounds. I used to test the detonators, the hand grenades, you know. And I used to put. I was in a concrete room. I was locked in, and I used to put the detonators in the hand grenade. Clean the hand. Oh, funny, you know. But that was another job of mine.
Why did you have to send the ammunition back every so often? Would it go off or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How long?
I forget how many years now, but I used to check the years when it was issued, the date, and I forget now. And, you know, I just come on, a long time ago.
But it was quite a while.
That's right. And I also had to go down to the railway stations when I was in Bombay. I used to ride a bike. And I'd take parcels down there, or collect parcels. And if there was any large quantities of stuff to be picked up from the stations, goods, I used to go with a team of horses and a cart. And I used to go through Grant Road, which was the prostitute area. And there was girls there, they used to sit behind cages. It was just funny, all right? And I got on well with the Indians at this... Burrybunda was the name of the place I used to go to. Shipping Burrybunda was on the...
And that was to collect the battalions. You were in the battalion stores, not the company stores.
Yeah, the battalion.
How was it arranged that things were replaced? I mean, you say you issued a load of socks and... Short.
Yeah.
Who arranged to replace them, and where did they come from?
Well, the company commander, you see, if a chap there, his clothes didn't look too good, he had to go and get some more fresh.
No, I know that. But, I mean, who you gave them, how would you get some more? Where did they come from?
Oh, yeah, from, my quartermaster. He'd come and check with me, you know, like, and say, well, we want so many of this and that, and he used to send to the... to the big depots that was in India, the same as in England, there was big...
So that was his job, not yours?
His job, yeah. I used to help him, of course. I used to say there's only half a dozen of these, sir, or two of these, and one some more size 7 boots, which was a popular size, you know, in the size 8. Yeah, I had a cushy job, I liked it.
And what other stores did you have? So you had ammunition, you had clothing, anything else in your side of it?
No, not that I think of.
What about food? That was
all knives and forks and all that.
Mess tin thing.
Cutlery, yeah.
What about... You had nothing to do with food?
Bottles, had all of them.
You had nothing to do with food then?
No. No.
Now, you said... How was your working day organised then? I mean, as far as you were concerned, how would you...
I was like a manager. I'd get up at 6, my boot boy there, the Badeshi in there was. Nice little pal, he's on the picture there and... Yeah, a cup of tea. You say, morning, Sahib. I say, we're all called Sahib. I say, morning, Bashi. And he'd have everything ready for me. My boots polished over that. And I would just stroll across to the stores and check around. It's a pretty easy life. And I learned how to type, you know. In fact, I've got a sister in Sunderland. She's got a letter from me when I typed in 1933. She's still, I've got a copy now somewhere as well.
Did you have much admin to do? Typing, keeping books, things like that?
Not me. No, all I had to do was to keep a check on the stores. What went out and what came in.
Was security a problem? Keeping this?
No.
No problem with any of your staff?
No, but I got well in with the quartermasters of the... Well, the colour sergeants, actually, of the different companies, because if there was anything missing, you said, Dusty, any chance of... you know, not... But, you know, anything was a, what you call, bakshi, you know, left over, you know, that was very kind of them.
How would you fix that, though? I mean, you said you had
Well, these are bakshis. I mean, that hadn't been checked, they were just lying there, you see.
Well, how did they become bakshis?
Well, somebody would leave it. Some of the soldiers. So they used to sign and leave, you know, they left them behind, but they didn't know who they belonged to, you see. And they never come back to say I left me this and that there. Say it was bakshish.
So you'd have that. This is what would be in your cupboard.
Yeah, in a way.
Well, it would help if you told us how it worked, because it's not an offence now. But it's a big part of army life. And how you get things that you can hand
well,
out.
Well, all right, then. When we moved from Bombay to go to the Sudan, there was a lot of stuff. After we'd checked up and had a... What'd they call it again when you...
Inventory or...
An inventory, that's right. And there was bales of socks. You know, about 500 pairs of socks in a bale. And it was... And we took them with us to Khartoum. Yeah, no good leaving them to the other regiment, as long as everything was checked okay.
So it was that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then you would use them socks how? Would you use them for trading to get other stuff off?
Yeah, well, if any of the lads were in trouble, I mean... yeah.
But would you exchange it for other things as well?
No, just... Like, no. Just
so you wouldn't sell it?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't go for
that. Did you do anything to get money for yourself? Or was
no.
it...
No. I wasn't. No.
So what you were doing was just helping people out, in your view, and in my view as well, actually.
Well, that's right. I mean, I was still the lads. If anybody went to see yeah. I mean, there wasn't accounted for, so I made no odds. It was buck cheese. That's rather than having back cheese time. No,
I mean, would there be quite a lot? You'd have quite a lot of stores in this category then of bookshies, would you?
Oh yeah, knives, cutlery. Oh yeah, there was a lot of it. So down maybe other regiments have left them. You know, like interchanging. You know, just yeah. Oh, I didn't worry me much.
Now. While you were doing this job, how did your knee stand up to military life? Because it's never really got better, has it? But no. I mean, how did you find... Was it hurting?
Yeah, it used to come out. You know, I used to knock it back in. It used to slip out.
Dislocate itself.
Yeah. And fluid used to come in it. Synovitis, we knee they called it. That was the idea. And the MO... Oh, I'm trying to think of his name again. Mr... Well, he said, you must not play any kind of sport. Nothing at all. Not even boxing, nothing.
Did you miss your sport?
Oh, I did. Oh, I was just nothing, you know. I used to watch the lads and playing this and that. And that's all I used to do. Just, well, but I still had to go on parade in March. Rope marches. I couldn't understand that. I mean, as I say, I should have been sent home. But they wouldn't send me home. They wouldn't get a... I'd have to wait for the trooping season. So there was always what's called the trooping season. Some lads, when they were abroad, they had to wait maybe another 10 months or so after doing the 7 years, waiting for the trooping season. And all the ships were called HT, Hired Transport, the Bibby Line. That was the name, the Bibby Line, I remember that. And most of the trooping ships were, there's Lancashire, the Navassa, and, oh, I've got some of them here, I can't remember all the names, but, yeah.
So, how long, what happened next? And you've got you settled in as a storekeeper, how long did you do that for before you moved? Because you moved to Bombay, didn't you?
Yeah, I was still in the stores there, like, and I was, then we went to Khartoum.
Tell me about Bombay. You moved there when? It's not in your thing.
1935.
And how was that different, if it was?
Just the same, a little better. I mean, because Bombay was a lovely city. We used to go down there, and I still remember the streets. Hornby Road was the main street from Calaba Barracks. We used to walk there. And... we also got the cinema there. There were cinemas, and I remember Victoria Station. It's still there. And the Gateway of India. I used to like that. And I've got photographs and when the Durhams, 2nd Battalion, did a guard for the Viceroy coming in, you know, and
do you remember that day?
Hmm?
Do you remember much about it?
No, because I was in the stores. I wasn't on parade, you see. And that was Lord Linlithgow coming in. I forget who the Viceroy going in, but I have got his name. It's in an album upstairs. I've got the pictures of it. And, And then, Bombay, the Gateway of India. This is to commemorate the landing of King George V and Queen Mary in 1910 for the Durbar. Similarly, I was no idea. Yeah. It's still there, the Gateway. It's a lovely piece of building. And on the Guard of Honour, the Indian Navy was there on parade as well. And the Viceroy's wife spoke to some of our lads, went up and had a chat with them. Yeah, that's what I was told, of course. The picture says you can see her walk and talk with them. Bombay, yeah, a nice place. And there was a lot of monuments there in Bombay, Queen Victoria. Marvellous things. There was a riot there once. Oh.
Tell me about that.
The alarm went, a riot. And our lads used to go in trucks with wire around them, wired in, with a machine gun on the back. And actually, it was the Hindus having a row with the Muslims. You'd have the Hindu temple and a Muslim mosque, and one would complain about the other, they couldn't do the services on account of the noise from one end. They'd start with the knives. They were knives. And my job was to send the rockets up. Great big rockets. They were mounted for the riot, and they're only a light, and the first one zip up, you know. Boom. I had to count 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like this one. Whoa. I used to have little squibs when I was a toddler for fireworks. But at this, the rockets, there was 3 of them. I used to send the rockets up.
What was
the alarm? Eh?
What was that for?
Well, just an alarm that there was a riot on. Right. Because there was artillery there. There was Indian troops there as well, you see. It let them the rockets. The quartermaster would stand there, like, with me, you know. Well, they give me the job of sending these rockets. I didn't go. It was a job. I was all right. And I used to go down to Bombay and we white patrols, get a taxi and come back
But nothing. Did anything happen that while you were there, in particular?
I'm trying to think. Gandhi didn't know. No. Well, there was people that they used to. Oh, I got dysentery. I got a dog to dysentery.
Do you know what from? Do you know how you caught it? Or
yeah, it was from a cafe. The military went down. That's where it was. I think they put it over the bones. And the only thing I liked about when I was getting better, convalescent, was I was getting chicken and jellies and things like that. Well, when I had this dysentery, all I thought was I had diarrhoea. See, you pass blood. And I must have passed out. Because the next thing I knew, I was in a hospital bed. In Bombay, like, in the barracks. I was well looked after. And then we had, I think, Corporal Wilson, he died. I think a snake bit him. Corporal Wilson. I went to his funeral.
Wasn't that fairly unusual? Was snakes a problem?
Oh, yeah. Well, this Sergeant Major Metcalf, we were out on the range. Before I was a storekeeper, of course, shooting. And he was organising the shooting. And suddenly somebody yelled, look out, sir, behind your snake. And he shot it. He just pulled his revolver and shot it. Cobra. Oh, yeah. Oh, those snakes. Hyenas, jackals. Oh, God.
see.
Score them jackals. Oh, you know, dear. Well, we were on manoeuvres once. I mean, I shouldn't say this. I mean, with the Muslims.
No, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. What happened?
Well, we were on manoeuvres and it was dark and we were told just to pack in for the night, like, you know, and there was two or three of us jumping in a trench affair. Actually, it was a Muslim burial ground and it was all the skeletons. The heads. Well, what used to happen, the Muslims, they bury their dead. See? And they used to put grass swords, all kinds, on top, see? Well, the hyena, he used to lead the jackals, and they used to smell the body out. The jackals used to dig out and drag it out and eat it. Then the vultures used to come, kite hawks. We had another name for them, like. The kite hawks used to come, like. And if we were outside getting our meals, we would line up outside in the rows and get served our meals. If there was meat there, well, as soon as you had it on your dish, on your plate, you had to keep doing that.
Moving your hand over the top of it.
Yeah, like that, because they're the kite hawks. And what we used to do as well, we'd get some string and tie some paper around like a kite. You know, the string's on a kite. Yeah. And fastened onto a bit of meat. Well, the kite all come and swooped off, and there were all these things flying around with the tail on. They were fast tower away then. And we used to be at an open cinema. Open. And no roof on, watching a film. And the, what did they call them now? The fruit bats. Well, they would fly straight into the light, you know. Oh, God, these fruit bats. See them hanging over, dear, funny things, monkeys. Up in there. Oh, the monkeys, oh, dear. They were sacred, you see. And the Hindus, they believe in afterlife, you see. Even a little flea. And I remember I was down in the market in Bombay Lake, and I saw this insect on the counter, and I just went like that. I'd killed somebody. I said, well, if I'd like to come back like that, I'd like to come back as a play on Mary Pickford, somebody. Ah, there, funny. There's our little laughs and jokes in them days, wasn't it? And that was it.
So, nothing much else. The next move is the move to the Sudan.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't a full... It was on the way home, wasn't it? You went there,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How did you feel when you knew the battalion were coming back to via the Sudan? I mean, were you looking forward to getting out of India by the time you left?
Yeah, I was just part of the usual. Going somewhere else. You know, yeah. But talking about India, though, I mean, the Himalayas, Illawong, was beautiful. There was Everest, and Kanchenjunga was the next one to it. It was a beautiful place, Darjeeling. Anyway.
So, what happened after you left Bombay then?
Well, we got on the boat. Well, we had at the Stores Harbour to the incoming regiment. I think, I'm Lancashire Fusiliers, I'm not sure.
Was there any problem in the handover? I mean, did they...
No, everything was laid down. Documents and, you know, it was all laid up nice for them to come into. No problem at all. And then, of course, anything was put on the trooper. You know, all the goods, what was, you know... No, there was no problem. Anyway, we sailed and we landed at Port Sudan, I think it was Port Sudan. I think it was Port Sudan. And we were told... It was a single-track rail line to Khartoum. And we were issued with shovels on account of the sand getting on the line. And I've got a picture as well of Kitchener.